Welcome back to Radio or Not. Nicole Sandler here with you on a Friday, September 12th. And last night, for the very first time, Sarah Palin actually sat down and answered questions from Charlie Gibson. He was a bit tougher than I thought he'd be, and she didn't disappoint. Oh, no, she showed that. We have a lot to worry about. So later on in today's program, we will we'll listen to the interview and go through it step by step. Today's musical selection comes from Amy Mann, and it's a song I just it's been going through my mind the last few days. I have to dedicate it to John McCain and Sarah Palin because, well, it fits. It's called "That's Just What You Are." Amy Mann on Radio.
In our endeavor, we are never seen eye to eye. No guts to serve us, so forever may we wave goodbye. And you're always telling me that it's my turn to move, when I wonder what could make the needle jump the groove. I won't fall for the oldest trick in the book, so don't sit there and think you're off of the hook by saying there is no use changing, 'cause that's just what you are. That's just what you are. Acting steady, always ready to defend your fears. What's the matter with the truth? Did I offend your ears by suggesting that a change might be your thing to try? To get would kill you just to try and be a nicer guy. It's not like you would lose some critical piece if somehow you moved point A to point B. Maintaining there is no point changing, 'cause that's just what you are.
Now, are those lyrics perfect or what? All right, I'm going to bet Amy Mann. That's just what you are. We'll finish it up later on. I'm going to put a link on radioornot.com to Amy Mann's website. Check out her music. But that's just what you are. It couldn't be more perfect if she had written it for this situation, for John McCain. All right. It was 3 weeks ago today after I got off the air and just finished telling you that I'd be talking to you Monday and we were getting ready for the Democratic convention, that I was relieved of my daily morning duties on the so-called progressive talk station here in South Florida. And the following Monday, we started up Radio or Not. And I've been trying to sort of navigate my way through and figure out the best form that this program should take. And I've been upgrading my equipment slowly but surely. And we're still working towards the goal of doing a live program. So we'll get there. I need to learn to be patient. Never has been one of my strong suits. Anyway, I have a phone number that you can call into. It's 954-889-6410. And yesterday, as I was putting together the program, Adam from Hollywood took advantage of it. So I love saying this. Let's go to the phones on Radio or Not. Hi.
This is Adam from Hollywood, and I was thinking about the whole lipstick on a pig and the response from the McCain campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought is that if these people are construing that statement in the context that it was in to mean that Obama was saying that Sarah Palin is a pig or something like that, I can't imagine how they have any competency to deal with international politics. I mean, they're going to be misinterpreting people all over the world and fighting.
Well, they are, number one. That goes without saying. But do you really think that this was an issue for them, or did they just take advantage of something that they could grasp onto to manufacture a false outrage and take people's attentions off the issues that really matter?
Well, I absolutely think that's 100% correct. The other side of it is if they're going to pretend to be serious about that, then seriously, do you want these people to be out there negotiating in the world?
Well, of course not. but see, no. What they need to do right now is create a whole different nonsense dialogue so that people won't really think about the economy and our standing in the world and, you know, what's the warmongering going on in this administration and everything else that's of great importance. No, they'd rather distract us with a stupid non-issue about what Obama meant when he said lipstick on a pig.
They've just taken the entire campaign and the entire race to its lowest possible levels.
And they're going to keep doing that. Anytime they find something that they can create this, and Obama said it beautifully, this phony outrage, they don't really think that that's what he was saying, but they found something. Oh, we can capitalize on that and say that he called Sarah Palin a pig. Meanwhile, I heard the speech that she's been delivering over and over and over again. It's, I guess, the only speech they have for her, and she can't speak on her own yet, although I guess she's recording her interview with Charlie Gibson tonight, which I'm sure will be all softball questions. But she was the one who is acting just so despicable. You know, she's showing that she's a mean-spirited bitch. I mean, that's the only way I can look at her.
I definitely agree with you on that. And it's incredible, too, how she said nothing. It's as if she made that one speech at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything that she says is just, you know, parts of that speech over again.
Exactly.
And
she's repeating the same speech.
It's like those are the only images that they want to allow. They only want those images to be the only thing that people perceive her of.
Yeah, well, and then they squirrel her away in the cone of silence, I suppose, and don't let her speak to anybody. I know she'll do the Charlie Gibson interview, but you know he's not going to be tough on her because, for a number of reasons. He doesn't want to alienate his good graces in this administration, and God forbid they get elected. He doesn't want to be, you know, blackballed from the press corps. He wants to make nice. And if you remember, they put forth these conditions. Well, we'll let the press talk to her when they treat her with reverence. Well, excuse me, isn't that something you earn?
Yeah, good grief. You know, and if you're a vice presidential candidate, there's nothing about what you're doing that's off limits or taboo. I mean, this is about, you know, I'm going to be representing you, and so ask me whatever you want. At least that's what I would think you would want to adopt an attitude like that.
I would think so, too. The problem is she doesn't know what she's talking about, and it was evidenced by just one comment she made off the cuff that wasn't scripted when she said about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and how they just got too big and they were costing the taxpayers too much money. Well, excuse me? Now they're going to cost the taxpayers too much money. They were not public entities before the government took them over, before the government decided to bail them out. What about all the millions of people who are losing their homes? The government's not going to bail them out, but they'll bail out the major, you know, investment companies and the mortgage brokers.
Well, I got to tell you, on another note, I really miss listening to you in the morning.
Well, thank you. I never thought I'd say I miss waking up at 4 a.m, but I do miss the show. I miss doing it. And, you know, I'm working on a few different things, so I appreciate you following me and calling in, and hopefully I'll get back on the air somewhere.
I hope so. I don't know if you're, you know, whatever you want to do with what we're talking about, but I sent another email to the station just saying to them, well, you know, I don't listen there anymore in the morning. There's some programs I like, but I listen to your podcast when it comes up. I read your blog, and I listen to music in the morning because you're not on the station right now.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, new media is coming, and maybe the time is right now, so maybe I'll find a home where they'll give me a live stream to do the show live each morning. I'm not quite sure. I'm still, you know, I took the poll, did the poll on the website, and overwhelmingly people say they want it in the morning. I just have to figure out a way to do it. So I'm working on it.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I'm born and raised in South Florida, and I've lived here most of my life in a few other places as well. And what I can tell you is that, I've listened to a lot of, I've always listened to the talk radio. I mean, when I was 10, 11 years old, I used to listen to all the AM stations, you know, all the talk radio back before, our favorite uncle even knew what sports was.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, and I'll tell you, you do such a great job. You bring the local in, you bring the national and international in, and I mean, I love when you talk about music and the interviews that you have. I mean, you're just great on the radio, and I really think it's a major loss for the community that you're not on, you know, the public waves.
Well, Adam, thank you so much. I'm working on it. I mean, I'm really going to give it. I'm actually going to New York next week. I'm leaving a week from Saturday, and I'm having some meetings, and there's some things happening here locally, so I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's great. That's great. I mean, I look at your website and I go, the industry that I'm in, there's no real way I could help you out, but if there was something I could do, I would try to do it.
Well, I thank you. I really thank you. And I appreciate you calling in. You did what, you know, I'm hoping other people will do. The phone number is there on the blog. Like I said, I'm in my studio from about 8:30 till about noon every morning. And if you call in, we'll start the recorder and we'll, you know, for now, we're just going to make it work, as Tim Gunn says on Project Runway.
All right,
Adam, well, thank you.
Great talking to you.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, he certainly knows how to get on my good side. Not that it's difficult, right? All right, let's continue this Friday morning edition of Radio or Not. I'm actually doing the program early today. I want to get out of here because I am going to go see Joe Garcia, who's got an event going on at 11:30 this morning at the Kendall campus of Miami-Dade College with Bob Graham, former senator, former governor, and I'm a huge supporter of Joe Garcia's. We need to get a big enough majority in the Congress so that if Obama gets elected, he's got a filibuster-proof majority, and if, God forbid, McCain gets elected, we have enough of a, you know, majority in Congress to stop him from, oh, perhaps waging war against a country that has done nothing to us. You know, things like that. All right. I told you last night, Sarah Palin actually sat down with Charlie Gibson for the first time and answered some questions. It's a three-parter. Second part, I guess, airs today. But I will link to the actual interview from ABC News. But I thought we would do, as we did with old Sarah's acceptance speech at the convention, and listen to it together. Feel free to yell at the computer, throw things. Just don't break the computer, because right now it's the only way you can listen to Radio or Not. Here we go.
Governor, let me start by asking you a question that I asked John McCain about you. And it is really the central question. Can you look the country in the eye and say, I have the experience and I have the ability to be not just vice president, but perhaps president of the United States of America?
I do, Charlie, and on January...
I do? I'm sorry, she's not marrying anybody. Can you look us in the eye and say you have the experience? I do? Sorry, just...
January 20th, when John McCain and I are sworn in,
no!
If we are so privileged to be elected to serve this country, we'll be ready. I'm ready.
You're ready?
Wait,
I'm ready? Oh... Okay, that alone should give you pause, shouldn't it? Oh, but let's keep going, because there's some good stuff here.
Take the number two spot on the ticket. For a moment, did you think no?
I did not.
Really?
I thought yes, off the bat. When he offered me the position as his running mate, the first thing I said to him was, if you really think that I can help the ticket, if you really think that I can help this country... Absolutely, I want to do this with you.
She said, do you really have a good script for me?
And you didn't say to yourself, am I experienced enough? Am I ready?
I didn't hesitate. No,
really?
Doesn't that take some hubris?
I answered him yes, because I have the confidence in that readiness and knowing that you can't blink. You have to be wired in a way of being so committed to the mission that we're on, reform of this country and victory in the war. You can't blink.
What?
So I didn't blink then.
Victory
even,
in what war,
when
Sarah?
Asked to run as his running mate.
But this is not just reforming a government. This is also running a government
on
a huge international stage in a very dangerous world. When I asked John McCain about your national security credentials, he cited the fact that you have command of the Alaskan National Guard and that Alaska is close to Russia.
Oh, my goodness.
Are those sufficient credentials?
But it is about reform.
Are those sufficient credentials,
and it's about,
Sarah?
Putting government back on the side of the people, and that has much to do with foreign policy.
But wait a minute, putting government back on the side of the people? Who's been in charge for the last 8 years? Your party. All right, sorry.
National security issues. Let me speak specifically about a credential that I do bring to this table, Charlie, and that's with the energy independence that I've been working on for these years as the governor of this state that produces nearly 20% of the U.S. domestic supply of energy, that I worked on as chairman of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, overseeing the oil and gas developments in our state to produce more for the United States.
Baby.
National security is a whole lot more than energy.
Yes.
It is, but I want you to not lose sight of the fact that energy is a foundation of national security. It's that important. It's that significant.
Did you ever travel outside the country prior to your trip?
I gotta break in here for a second, because one thing that jumped out at me during this interview were all the edits. And I thought when I went online and watched it there, they would show the whole thing. This, I mean, usually TV editors are pretty skilled at the cutaway shots, and so you don't see the edits and you don't hear them. But because I edit audio a lot, I can pick up on it. And when you hear the question coming so tight, there were so many edits in this interview. I want to see the raw, unedited interview. Somehow I think that will never happen. I wonder how, you know, were the edits just because she goes on and on, and even Charlie Gibson said, I get lost in a multitude of words or something. I forget. I'll point it out when he says it. But the edits were so distracting for me. Why don't they just let it run? What is being hidden here? That's just a question I thought I'd throw out there. All right, let me back it up a second. Let's go back to the videotape.
Did you ever travel outside the country prior to your trip to Kuwait and Germany last year?
Canada, Mexico, and then, that trip that was a trip of a lifetime to visit our troops in Kuwait and stop and visit our injured soldiers in Germany. That was a trip of a lifetime, and it changed my life.
Have you ever met a foreign head of state?
I have not, and I think if you go back in history and if you ask that question of many vice presidents, they may have the same answer that I just gave you. But Charlie, again, we got to remember what the desire is in this nation at this time. It is for no more politics as usual and somebody's big fat resume maybe that shows decades
like John
and decades
McCain's?
In that Washington establishment
John
they've
McCain's.
Had opportunity to meet heads of state.
Okay.
Let me ask you about some specific national security situations.
Sure.
Let's start.
Sure.
Because
sure.
we are near Russia. Let's start with Russia and Georgia. The administration has said we've got to maintain the territorial integrity of Georgia. Do you believe the United States should try to restore Georgian sovereignty over South Ossetia and Abkhazia?
First off, we're going to continue good relations with Saakashvili there. I was able to speak with him the other day.
She got his name
and
right.
giving him my commitment as John McCain's running mate.
Okay, All right, she was able to speak with Saakashvili the other day. Well, gee, isn't it funny that John McCain's chief foreign policy advisor is the former now lobbyist for Georgia and Saakashvili in the U.S. Conflict of interest, anybody? All right, and then go on to hear the falsities, or dare I say lies, that she keeps going with here.
We will be committed to Georgia.
We've
got to keep an eye on Russia. For Russia to have exerted such pressure in terms of invading a smaller democratic country.
Huh? Who invaded who?
Is unacceptable.
I was talking over it. My bad. I got to go back so you can hear what she said.
We've got to keep an eye on Russia. For Russia to have exerted such pressure in terms of invading a smaller democratic country unprovoked.
What?
Is unacceptable, and we have to keep.
You believe unprovoked?
I do believe unprovoked, and we have got to keep our eyes.
Okay, she just said, I do believe unprovoked, and I'm glad Charlie Gibson challenged her on that, because it wasn't Georgia sent their tanks in first. Guess at who's urging? Oh, yes, that very same lobbyist, John McCain, with a direct pipeline to Saakashvili via his former lobbyist who is John McCain's chief foreign policy advisor. Don't you get it? Oh, my God. And now she's saying Russia invaded Georgia unprovoked. Sorry, Sarah. The other way around, Georgia fired the first shots. And Russia said, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. And here they are. They are putting a whole line of bullcrap out and expecting you to believe it. Don't believe it.
On Russia, under the leadership there,
What insight into Russian actions, particularly in the last couple of weeks, does the proximity of the state give you?
None.
They're our next-door neighbors.
Oh, they're our next-door neighbors.
Well,
let me tell you something. I've got two next-door neighbors here where I live in my neighborhood. I couldn't tell you the first thing about either one of them. Except on one side, it's a guy, and he's got a golden retriever. On the other side, it's a woman with a teenager who has way too many people over and blocks my driveway too often. That's what I know about my next-door neighbors.
Russia from land here in Alaska.
Wait, sorry, you got to hear this again. You can see Russia.
Next-door neighbors, and you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
So you're an expert.
Georgia and Ukraine and into NATO.
Ukraine, definitely, yes. Yes, and Georgia. Putin thinks otherwise. Obviously, he thinks otherwise.
And under the NATO treaty, wouldn't we then have to go to war if Russia went into Georgia?
Perhaps so. I mean, that is the agreement when you are a NATO ally, is if another country is attacked, you're going to be expected to be called upon and helped.
Let me turn to Iran. Do you consider a nuclear Iran to be an existential threat to Israel?
I believe that under the leadership of Ahmadinejad, nuclear weapons...
Okay,
in
she can say Ahmadinejad, but she can't say nuclear? Oh my God, another nuclear...
...hands of his government are extremely dangerous to everyone on this globe, yes.
So what should we do about a nuclear Iran?
We have got to make sure that these weapons of mass destruction, that nuclear weapons,
nuclear,
are not given to those hands of Ahmadinejad. Not that he would use them, but that he would allow terrorists to be able to use them. So we have got to put the pressure on Iran.
What if Israel decided it felt threatened?
Did you hear that edit again? In fact, that time, I guess they just had to mute her so that she couldn't keep sticking her foot further in her mouth. That's the only thing I can think of. And unless ABC releases the unedited video, I have to believe that she just really made some glaring, even more glaring mistakes. And they said, you got to cut that out. It's the only thing I can think of. For edits to be this blatant, you know, we already saw it with CBS where they edited John McCain to cover up a mistake. I have a feeling that's what ABC did, too. I haven't heard anyone else say it, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I trust my instincts on this one. All right, let's back it up again.
Ahmadinejad, not that he would use them, but that he would allow terrorists to be able to use them. So we have got to put the pressure on Iran.
What if Israel decided it felt threatened and needed to take out the Iranian nuclear facilities?
Well, first, we are friends of Israel, and I don't think that we should second-guess the measures that Israel has to take to defend themselves and for their security.
So if we wouldn't second-guess it and they decided they needed to do it because Iran was an existential threat, we would be cooperative or agree with that?
I don't think we can second-guess what Israel has to do to secure its nation.
So if it felt necessary, if it felt the need to defend itself by taking out Iranian nuclear facilities, that would be all right.
We cannot second-guess the steps that Israel has to take to defend itself.
We talk on the anniversary of 9/11.
Man. All right, I just got to stop. That's three times when asked about Israel, we cannot second-guess. Obviously, she was coached, and that was the answer she was given, but she wasn't told how to follow up. She wasn't told how to back up her position. So that's the line she knows, and she repeated it, and she repeats it yet again. Let's go back to the videotape.
Hijackers attacked. Why did they want to hurt us?
You know, there is a very small percentage of Islamic believers who are extreme and they are violent and they do not believe in American ideals. And they attacked us. And now we are at a point here 7 years later on the anniversary in this post 9/11 world where we're able to commit to never again. The only option for them is to become a suicide bomber, to get caught up in this evil, in this terror. They need to be provided the hope that all Americans have instilled in us, because we're a democratic, we are a free, and we are a free-thinking society.
Do you agree with the Bush
Another
doctrine?
Another edit. I love this.
What's the Bush
doctrine? You know, I'm going to break in here right now and say, when I first heard Charlie Gibson ask this question, do you agree with the Bush doctrine, and saw her, she looked like a deer in headlights. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know that. They didn't tell me that. I don't know that. I didn't tell me that. I'm the first to admit I would have been in the same boat. but I'm not pretending to be qualified to be Vice President of the United States. She had no clue what he was talking about. And let me further say, I really expected a very softball interview from Charlie Gibson, and he asked some tough questions. And on this one, he was undoubtedly trying to catch her. And I think he did a good job because she didn't have a clue. All right.
What do you interpret it to be?
His worldview?
No, the Bush Doctrine, enunciated September 2002, before the Iraq War.
I believe that what President Bush has attempted to do is rid this world of Islamic extremism, terrorists who are hell-bent on destroying our nation. There have been blunders along the way, though. There have been mistakes made. And with new leadership, and that's the beauty of American elections, of course, and democracy, is with new leadership comes opportunity to do things better.
Your party's been in charge for 8 years.
Is that we have the right of anticipatory self-defense. That we have
right, the right. So now he's explaining to her what the Bush Doctrine actually is.
The Bush Doctrine, as I understand it, is that we have the right of anticipatory self-defense. That we have the right to a preemptive strike against any other country that we think is going to attack us.
Oh.
Do you agree with that?
Charlie,
edit.
If there is legitimate and enough intelligence that tells us that a strike is imminent against American people, we have every right to defend our country.
Do we have the right
edit.
To be making cross-border attacks into Pakistan from Afghanistan, with or without the approval of the Pakistani government?
As for our
another
right
edit.
The, to invade.
I just got to say, I mean, I've never seen such a choppy interview with of such importance, by the way. Usually, they let it roll. The edits on this were not only so obvious, but so numerous that I got to wonder what the hell they're hiding. All right, sorry, back to it.
We're going to work with these countries, building new relationships, working with existing allies, but forging new also, in order to, Charlie, get to a point in this world where war is not going to be a first option. In fact, war has got to be, and military strike, a last option.
Yeah, that's what Barack Obama's been saying.
In your mind, to go across the border, with or without the approval of the Pakistani government?
In order to stop Islamic extremists, those terrorists who would seek to destroy America and our allies, we must do whatever it takes, and we must not blink, Charlie, in making those tough decisions of where we go and even who we target.
And let me finish with this. I get lost in a blizzard of words there.
That's what, okay, so that was
yes.
The line, because she keeps talking, and she said, let me ask again, because I get lost in a blizzard of words, because she doesn't know how to answer a simple question. Answer the question. She's just parroting back what she's been prepared with. All right, let's go back to it.
Is that a yes, that you think we have the right to go across the border, with or without the approval of the Pakistani government, to go after terrorists who are in the Waziristan area?
I believe that America has to exercise all options in order to stop the terrorists who are hell-bent on destroying America and our allies. We have got to have all options out there on the table.
Oh, God. Please don't let this woman be elected vice president. All right. So that was aired at the beginning of World News Tonight last night. And then they came back at the end of the newscast with another question for Sarah Palin.
You said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God.
Mm-hmm. Pray for our military men and women who are striving to do what is right also for this country, that our leaders, our national leaders, are sending them out on a task that is from God.
Are we fighting a holy war?
The reference there is a repeat of Abraham Lincoln's words when he said, first he suggested, never presume to know what God's will is. And I would never presume to know God's will
she
or
just
to
did.
Speak God's words.
Oh, really?
But what Abraham Lincoln had said, and that's a repeat in my comments, was, let us not pray that God is on our side in a war or any other time, but let us pray that we are on God's side. That's what that comment was all about, Charlie.
Yeah, right.
Today is the day that I send
okay, and now, I ABC, come on. She's talking, and they have footage of, you know, soldiers going off to war behind her. where the hell did this come from with the drum corps music behind her? What's this all about?
Firstborn, my son, oh, my God. Teenage son, overseas with his Stryker Brigade, 4,000 other wonderful American men and women to fight for our country, for democracy, for our freedoms.
But you went on and said there is a plan, and it is God's plan.
Mm-hmm. I believe that there is a plan for this world, and that plan for this world is for good. I believe that there is great hope and great potential for every country to be able to live and be protected with inalienable rights that I believe are God-given, Charlie, and I believe that those are the rights to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Wow, how unbelievably astute. Wow, that sounds like something some great maybe founders of a country might have written.
That, in my worldview, is a grand, the grand plan.
But then are you sending your son on a task that is from God?
I don't know if the task is from God, Charlie. What I know is that my son has made a decision.
Really?
I am so proud of his independent and strong decision.
Really?
He has made what he decided to do in serving for the right reasons.
The right reasons.
In
huh?
serving something greater than self. And not choosing a real easy path where he could be more comfortable and
like
certainly
in a jail
safer.
Cell? Okay, here's the thing. And I don't have irrefutable evidence to back it up. But, the National Enquirer was pretty spot on about John Edwards, about the whole the anthrax thing. The National Enquirer, yeah, does some sleazy, horrible work. But they also fairly often are spot on. And I will link to an article from the Enquirer today that has also been written about on other websites, but I can't find any proof, I'll tell you right off the bat. But the evidence seems to point to the fact that Track Palin, who, yes, was left yesterday to join the military, basically took it as a deal. Track Palin is a thug, a juvenile delinquent who got into a lot of trouble with the law when he was in high school. And in fact, his parents were so fed up with him that they kicked him out of the house. Vandalism, drug abuse, and more. And Track Palin went to Michigan to finish high school. Yeah, returned home to Alaska, and apparently, allegedly, I'll say, got into some trouble with the law and chose to enlist in the military rather than face jail time. Now, again, no, I don't have proof, but let me just say that there's enough ammo out there to at least suggest that there is some truth to this story. So for Sarah Palin to say there, he's doing it for the right reasons, you gotta laugh. Oh, Sarah. Ay. All right, tonight, another portion of the interview with Charlie Gibson. Oh, we'll relive that either over the weekend or perhaps on Monday here at Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting your friends know where you can find me. Thank you for making the last 3 weeks actually making me feel good about where I'm at and knowing that we'll get through this. All right. I'll get through this. And with your help, obviously. It's Radio or Not. I'm going to leave you with more of Amy Mann's That's Just What You Are. And after listening to Sarah Palin for the last 10 or so minutes, it couldn't be any truer. Again, listen to the words and check out the link to Amy Mann's music on the blog at radioornot.com. Have a great weekend.
That's just what you are. That's just what you are. Your fear. What's the matter with the truth? Did I offend your ears? You're like a sleepwalking man. It's a danger to wake you.
come.